You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Tuesday, the 24th of November 2020. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news update. Later, online shoppers ahead of the Black Friday sales are being warned about rising scammers. We'll tell you what to look out for in a few moments. But first, to the Australian share market and the ASX 200 hitting a nine-month high, up 1.3% today to 66.44. It means for the month of November, the market's up by more than 12%. It's a stellar run. And from the pre-pandemic high, the market's only down around 7%. So today's moves follows a more vaccine optimism, a movement of a orderly change in the US presidency, low interest rates and continued fiscal stimulus. So of the majors, BHP rose 3.3%, energy stocks in favour, the likes of Santos 3.9% firmer, the banks across the board doing well, ANZ the best of the four, up by 3.1%, and some more news of easing border restrictions. Now Sydneyside is able to go into Queensland, for example, from December the 1st, helped airline stocks like Qantas, which rose 3.9%. Vaccines mean life may be going back to normal sometime soon. So shopping mall owners like Univale Redamco Westfield did extremely well, up 7.3%. In fact, that stock is up 66% so far this month alone. So for more on the day's action, I spoke earlier with Matt Shearwood from Perpetual. He is the head of investment strategy. Matt, the market's up today. Why?
Well, there's been three key factors behind it, Ricardo. The first one was the vaccine announcement overnight by AstraZeneca, where their COVID treatment had an efficacy rate of 70%, which the market liked the sound of. In addition, of course, we've had the announcement from the White House that the transition team from President Trump to President Biden is actually now going to be allowed in. So that process is now beginning and will continue. It should be fairly smooth from here. And of course, we had the reopening of the borders between New South Wales and Queensland. And those three factors really have just combined into really the perfect storm to drive markets up.
So which end of the market is benefiting from this renewed confidence?
Well, the bounce in the market has really been led by the sectors which have been lagging, so far in the recovery. And they really are the traditional cyclical parts of the market, including sectors such as energy, financials, industrials, consumer discretionaries. And they're the sectors which tend to have the highest correlation with improvements in the economy.
So this renewed confidence globally, right? Do you think it's justified? What are the risks there?
Well, the key risks really, I think, are twofold. First of all, if there'd be some kind of, the vaccine rollout didn't go as smoothly as what the market has factored in. And, the other, risk factor, I believe, is it could be a policy mistake, particularly that if fiscal policy is withdrawn too early, whilst the recovery next year looks fairly robust for the economy and markets are now expecting global growth of around 5%, which is nearly a double the trend pace. But if policy is withdrawn too early in too many large economies like the US and China, that can clearly throw the market off the upward trend that it's on. But in many ways, I think all of those risks are manageable, and the global outlook at the moment looks pretty robust, underpinned by stimulus and vaccine. And that's what's really driving the market up at the moment.
And speaking of that outlook, that robust outlook, what's the market expecting in terms of company earnings growth coming up?
Yeah, well, the market at the moment is expecting 2020 earnings growth of 2021 earnings growth of around 20%. And to me, that's easily deliverable. If we can get nominal global GDP of around 7, given all the operational leverage that's currently in corporate models, we can easily get 20%.
So if the economy seems to be rebounding, the outlook looks pretty good. The RBA previously had said, hey, we're going to keep interest rates super low for some time, possibly 3 years, to help the economy continue to grow and come out of the COVID-19 recession. Do interest rates need to stay so low for so long?
Well, that's probably the great unknown at the moment. Obviously, the labour market is quite displaced. There's a lot of unemployment particularly in services sector. And when we look at statistics around things like JobSeeker and JobKeeper, the real unemployment rate is around 10%. So it's obviously going to take time for those to come down. But that said, the vaccine rollout should mean that the services sector can certainly get back on its feet, can begin to be boosting activity and employment and earning profits, if that process goes reasonably smoothly and the economy looks fairly robust for a couple of years, then there probably will be some upward pressure on inflation. And if that's the case, then the bank probably a couple of years from now may have to revisit its assumption on rates on hold for 3 years. But the advantage the RBA has is that they have a flexible target, unlike other regions, and they're now also tending to move towards the RBA's operating model of, our inflation target's 2-3% per annum over the business cycle rather than in any individual year. So they do have flexibility, but if the economy continues to rip higher, there's upward pressure on inflation because the labour market starts to tighten, then, I think that assumption by the RBA will have to be revisited.
That's your word there from Perpetual. Now to a warning from the consumer watchdog to shoppers ahead of the Black Friday online sales because of rising scams. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission says online shopping scams have risen 42% this year with almost $7 million lost. So what do you need to look out for? For that, I spoke earlier with Delia Rickard, the ACCC Deputy Chair.
Online shopping scams have always been a problem, but they've really exploded during COVID. We've seen a 60% increase in classified online scams and a 42% in general online shopping scams. And combined, we've seen over about $11.5 million reported to the ACCC as lost to these scams, and we know that's only a tiny percentage of the losses.
So how are they scamming shoppers exactly?
There's a few ways they're scamming shoppers. With online shopping, they often create fake websites. Sometimes it looks like an almost perfect replica of a real site, and sometimes it's the scammer's own site. You see goods on them that look really attractive, have great prices. You send off your money, and either the goods never turn up, or you get some kind of very cheap fake that arrives. With classifieds, it's a fairly similar story, though what we're seeing at the moment is people saying, look, we're travelling at the moment. Ironic under COVID, really. We're travelling at the moment, and therefore you'll need to pay a bit extra so we can ship it to you because it can't be delivered in person. But they are cleaning up and making an absolute monster.
So those fake websites, how do you spot a fake one?
Look, it is really difficult to tell. There's a few things you can do. I really recommend if it's a site you haven't shopped at before, always do a quick Google search saying reviews of the name of the site. I've done it twice recently and both times it turned out to be a scam site, so I'm glad I did. The pricing is often a giveaway, so often the prices are ridiculously low. One of the popular things that people are falling for is RM William Boots scams, and as we all know, they're not cheap, but they can be very cheap online, and they send their money, they don't get them.
So you mentioned RM William Boots. What kind of other products are they targeting?
The number one thing that's been targeted this year, which is completely different to any other year, is pets, primarily puppies. So we've had over $2 million reported to us lost to them. They're also selling cheap phones and computers, and we're finding younger people under 24, are the most likely to fall for those. Shoes is the second most popular thing reported to us. Vehicles, whether it's boats, heavy farming machinery, cars, are also another one that seems to be doing very well by scammers.
And if you see a scam, what should you do?
Don't fall for it. Avoid it. Don't go near it. But if you have, if you see it, report it. If you saw it through social media, and a lot of these scams are on social media, report it to the site. Report it to ScamWatch so we can get the message out there. But ideally, do all your homework beforehand so you know it's a scam and you don't send the money. But one more thing, if you have fallen for it, always let your bank know, and if you paid by a credit card, you may have some chance of getting the money back. Because what we see with these scams is they set up these shops, they run for a month or two till it reaches the point where people think, my goodness, I have been scammed, nothing's turned up, I've heard nothing, and then they close it down, wait till all this negative press goes away, restart, possibly with a slightly different name.
And with more of us shopping online, especially for Christmas, right, and packages being delivered, there's another interesting scam where these fake delivery companies are sending text messages or notifications to your mobile as well, isn't there?
Absolutely. They could pretend to be anyone, but they're mostly pretending to be Australia Post this year. You get a text saying that a parcel couldn't be delivered and you will need to pay a small amount to get it delivered to you. And at this time of year, we've either ordered presents to give away or we're quietly hoping someone will send us a present. You go there and then they will ask for a whole range of personal information and your credit card. And we've had over $2 million reported lost to us from just Australia Post scams alone. And I'm sure there are DHL and all the other courier companies being impersonated. And look, it's important for viewers to know that Australia Post will never ask you to click on a text message and give personal information or your credit card. So if that's what's being asked, it's a scam. Just absolutely don't respond.
Delia Rickard there, the ACCC Deputy Chair. That is SBS on the Money. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.